Good morning, church. And happy 4th of July. It's really good to have you here. We are so glad that you're with us. If you're visiting, we want you to stay with us afterwards. We'll briefly hit this at the end of today's service. We're going to eat afterwards. It's a nice southern tradition that's been imported up here. And since it's a southern day outside, we're going to have dinner on the grounds. There will be live entertainment, some of it, but there will be live entertainment afterwards. We have food for you. The people here were told to bring food for themselves and for someone else, and you are the someone else. So please stick around with us and get to meet people, because most of the people here aren't like me. They're very nice, and you will enjoy them. As we all know here, you know, this is a special time, a special date in the history, or rather every calendar year of this country. Long time ago, a document was released to the public on this day. It was a letter to King George. It was known as the Declaration of Independence. And in it, men said several things of great value. One was, because of God, they had certain rights. And because of those rights, and because they were so important, they had decided to link arms together and to walk together to a new place in history. And by making this, by publishing this, and by making this document public, they literally did change history, and they sealed their own fates. Many of them did not do well in the coming years because they signed their names to the document. Those stories are out there, and I'll let you find those on your own. That's not where we're focused today. But one of the lines near the end, it says that they agreed to work together and risk their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor. They were going to work together. None of them were going to do this on their own. The Lone Ranger is a movie myth. You always see this, you know, we fought Vietnam, and then it's insulting what Hollywood does afterwards. It'll send in a Chuck Norris or Sylvester Stallone afterwards, and he on his own wins the war. That is so insulting, and yet you hear this all the time, this myth of the Lone Ranger. We need to walk with someone. We need to be a part of something big. This week, I went down to Nashville, really to see my grandson, but everybody else thinks I went down to speak at Lipscomb. And there's a big event there called Summer Celebration, where they have, I don't know how many people, I've never gotten a count, but it's a lot of folk that meet. And as we were walking around, people would say, well, you know, I know that person, and I went to school with that person. And I turned to my wife, and I said, you know, the Church of Christ is a small town. That's what we are. No matter where we go, we know these people. These are our people. And you can tell our people. You know, we sing in a certain way, and we pray in a certain way. And this is our people. And someone came up to me, this is Brandon Scott Thomas. Well, I know him because of the Zoe group and all the big music stuff he's done. Well, here's his wife. She graduated from high school across the street from where you live now. You know, it's all of that sort of thing. Everybody's connected somehow. We sat in an area to watch the fireworks. Great American tradition, the fireworks, to make sure all dogs enjoy July 4th under the bed. So they fire this off, and Josh and Kara are looking around saying, everybody in this section's from Otter Creek, where they work now. We tend to tribalize. We know we need each other for strength along the journey. Let me just check here, because since I was out, I sent up a clip. Do we have that video? Or you're looking at me? I want it's an odd video, so they may not have been able to put it up. They do have it. This is it's a hymn being sung, but in a strange place. Just have a watch. It's about 2.5 minutes long. Do you like it so far? Okay, there. They're working on it. Evidently, somebody played with the knobs. Remember, nobody's allowed up in there unless it's one of the group. If it's not up, John, I'll just... Vamp and Vogue, you know. There we are.
There.
If that seems a bit strange to you, it's only because it is. That was a match between Celtic, which is a large football club, soccer club in Glasgow, Scotland, and Liverpool, which is down in England. Now, I find it fascinating that whoever made this video must have been from Glasgow, because you never see the red and white. And they really were two thirds of that entire auditorium, and you never see them at all. You know, there's a little flash, you see the goalie briefly, and then you're away. It is a whole idea of we need a tribe. Now, Britain is one of the least church places you're ever going to meet, so they got to find their tribe in another way. They find it through football clubs. They find it through the local bars. They get their strength from their buddies this way. Where do you get your strength? Who walks with you? As we were watching the fireworks, it was all really an experiment to see what would happen to Lucas. Lucas, this is his first time to see them, and it went well. But right before, there was a concert, and a cappella was singing in the concert. And the last song they sang was the Star Spangled Banner. Now, most of the people weren't paying attention to the concert, because you could only hear the concert if you sat in front of them. It was outside, and acoustics outside are terrible. Don't know why God didn't put a ceiling in, but there you are. However, by the time they got through halfway through the first few lines, the others of us were able to hear, even off in the fields, a song that hit something. And everybody was turned away from the stage, but slowly, one by one, people stood up and turned toward the stage, many of them placing their hands on their heart. It is our song. It's our people's song. And we walk together with our song. But what happens when a Benedict Arnold hits? Somebody that was a hero and becomes a traitor. What happens when a church fails? What happens when a soccer club loses? What happens when a bar burns down? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to walk with? What happens when a divorce hits? A church splits. The scripture says, turn to where the help really comes from. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade, is your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. One of the greatest, best-known psalms. One of the things that I always remember when I hit this is that word help. Where's my help going to come from? I look to the hills for where my help will come from. It's coming from God. That word help originally shows up very early in Scripture. God makes Adam. Adam sees the world, and God wants him to see that there's nothing in the world for him. There's nothing there that will really touch him until he makes Eve. And Eve is a helper fit for him. The old King James words were hard to figure out, but what it really means is the person he needed. He made somebody who would give him help. And sometimes I've heard women say, well, that seems demeaning that we're just the helper. Ladies, that word, help, almost every other time it is found in the Old Testament, refers to God. It is not a subservient role. If somebody cannot function without you, that means you're fairly important in the process. And God says, I'm the help. Where am I going to look for my help? It's not good for men to be alone. So God made woman. But what else did he do? He made us into groups. He said, be with the group. Walk with the group. And as the song says, you'll never walk alone. He said he would walk with us. And then when Jesus is about to, well, first of all, when he arrives, he gathers a group, doesn't he? We talked about that in our time on community. After that, what does he do? When he has to leave them in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. Read that. That's an amazing section of scripture. John 14, 15, and 16. He says, I've got to go, but I'm sending someone else to walk alongside you. We call that the paraclete merely because we're grabbing that Greek word. What it means is someone who walks along beside you to help you carry your load. I'm going to send you someone to walk with as you go through this world. We need each other. We're starting a new series called Ancient Words. We're not talking about the ancient words of Scripture, although, as we've already done this morning, we will be looking at Scripture, and sometimes rather extensively, during this period. What we're doing is we're trying to get you interested in a vast body of work out there, a prayer of the saints throughout history. And to use it, to get this started, we're going to use the first 2 months, the prayer of St. Patrick, which is sometimes called the deer's cry or the breastplate. Now, the version that was read to you this morning is really my version. Any version is a translation. It comes either from the Latin or from the Gaelic. He wrote it originally in Latin, and then it was turned into Gaelic. And I don't read Latin, so I come from the Gaelic and bring it into the English and modify it very slightly. But you can find various bits and pieces of it out there. Interestingly enough, if you're a history buff, most of what we think we know about the life of St. Patrick may not be true, but we do know he wrote this prayer because he sent it to Rome, and it was put there in the archives in 482 AD. It's an old prayer. Here's the occasion of that prayer. Briefly, the story is this. Patrick was the son of a patrician, of a higher class individual, most likely a Roman officer who had married a local British woman. He was then stolen by pirates and taken to Ireland. As a slave, he realized that he had wasted his life. He was a prodigal son. And he turned his soul back to God and said, if you help me, I will always serve you. Well, the time came, he had a chance to escape, and he did, back to Britain. So he got there, well, the first thing he did was start studying for the ministry because he wanted to go back to Ireland and convert the slavers who had enslaved him all those years. And so he did. Every other missionary that had gone to Ireland had been killed. This was not a career path. Every other missionary had been killed. They were full. Ireland was split up into many kingdoms. The kings, the Adri, the high kings of Ireland. Patrick goes over. Some men go with him. I'm assuming a very nervous group go with him. One day he's already announced that he's going to go into a certain village. One of the kings has decided he's had enough of this guy. And so there in the morning fog, before the light comes to the world, he hides his men to ambush Patrick and his disciples. They're going to slaughter them on the road. It's always worked before. They waited and they waited and they waited. And Patrick and his men never walked down the road. As the sun came up, they'd heard some noise. They looked and all they saw were deer tracks. They marched into the village and found Patrick and his men already there. And they said, how'd you get here? And they said, we walked down that road. They put it all together. And Patrick was convinced that God had protected him that day. And that all that the evil men had seen and heard were the deer. When it was really him and his men. And so he wrote this poem in remembrance, this prayer in remembrance of that day. And it taught it to his disciples, saying, when you wake up in the morning, declare your allegiance to God. Walk with God. Know only He can get you down this path. Nobody else. These are ancient words. That's why we're going to look at them. And I know that's a little bit different than what we would normally do, but that's the whole point of it, isn't it? Why come and do what you've always done and learn what you've always known? Instead, open up a bit. See some things. There was N.T. Wright was once asked why he chose the church he chose and its tradition. And his response really rang a bell in me. He said, I needed more words. He chose a tradition that had lots of written down prayers. These written prayers have a certain power. Now, when I was a boy, you weren't allowed to write prayers. I don't know if any of you came from one of those traditions or not. I can even remember my father watching one of the inaugurations of an American president, and a preacher gets up and reads the prayer. And my father was saying, he's reading that, as if that's not sincere. Well, I learned later, what you write can be very sincere. I fell in love. And what I wrote wasn't good, but it was sincere. It was the world's worst poetry, but it was sincere. What you write moves it from being ephemera. Ephemera is something which is here today and, well, frankly, gone today. It just goes away to something solid. My wife informed me a few years ago that she still has every card and every poem I wrote her. And I thought, oh my Lord, burn down the house. She has not told me where it is, if it's on site or off site. And I don't have enough matches to burn everything. So it's terrifying. But whenever you write it, it's not accidental. It's intentional. And these prayers have stood the test of time. And they help us say what we need to say. Is anybody in the room? Is there anybody in the room who's always been able to say what you wanted to say to God? Not me. There are times I go to God and I have no words and I want words. I know that He promised me the Holy Spirit will interpret the groanings of my heart. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm very thankful for that. But I would still like to have the words. Sometimes I can go through the collection of Celtic prayers, which is the Carmina Gadelica, or I can go through books of common prayer or the like and find a prayer that says what it is I want to say. Whenever our son joined the military, one of the things that we did, was go back to some of those old prayers, because there are prayers of blessing for the soldiers. There are prayers of blessing for the sailors. There are hymns like this as well. And I would quote bits of them as I would write them. That's words we could find. Some of you are in AA and you know that you say a prayer. And you'll talk about the things you can change and the things you cannot change and the wisdom to know the difference. And that prayer comes from St. Francis. And it has stood again the test of time. This morning, we're only looking at the first four lines of this very long prayer that was read for you quite well by the praise team. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. I'm not going to talk about the Trinity today, because at the very end of the prayer, he comes back to the Trinity and we're going to talk about it then. What we're going to talk about today is, how do you get up in the morning? Where is your strength? What gives you one foot in front of the other? Where does that come from? When I was a teenager, I had a poster on my wall. Perhaps this will help you understand why I would have a poster on my wall like that. Well, first of all, it was the 70s. Everybody had posters. And because I was a Christian, I knew I wasn't allowed to have the Farrah Fawcett one, so I had other posters. I left home when I was 16. That's not unusual in our family line. And I lived alone and wandered all over the world. That's really not true. I wasn't in Asia or Africa, but I was a lot of the world for 6 years before I met Cammie and my life became much more valuable. But I was on my own. So I'd have a poster on my wall, and it was a poster of this huge culvert. This huge, I think that's what you call it, right? It's like a concrete pipe, right? And at the very bottom of it is a tiny little baby duck. And underneath it said, arise, go forth and conquer. Most days I felt like that baby duck in a big world, cut off from family, thousands of miles away, rootless. What am I going to do when I get up this morning? How am I going to move forward? How do I keep going one more step? Where is your strength coming from? How are you going to face this day? Some of you have had divorce and broken homes and broken hearts, and my heart bleeds for you. It really does. It's just, that's how terrifying and terrible that is. Some of you are living in pain. Everything from emotional pain to real physical pain, whether it's migraines or arthritis or fibromyalgia, you live in pain. How do you get up in the morning? Some of you are living with age, which is another way of saying living with pain. Some of you live with loneliness. You walked with somebody for years and years and years, and they have gone on to God. And now, all of a sudden, you have gone from couple to widow or widowed. How do you get up in the morning? Some of you got up in the morning by saying, I've got a job to do, and that's gone. Or I'm going to earn more money, and the money's gone. The loss of status and all that has. How do you get up in the morning? These men that signed the Declaration of Independence, they decided to pull one over on and one up the British royal family. But this is never, I've never seen this in an American textbook. So let me just give you a little help here. One of the hidden things in the Declaration. The British royal family, their motto, translated from the Latin, is God and my right hand. In other words, we're working together. We're buddies. We're partners. God in my right hand. And in the Declaration, they say, because the Creator made us, we can do this. Very much a reflection back upon the Declaration of Arbroath in Scotland in 1320, and many other sources, but also the prayer of St. Patrick. We're rising today because we have the right to do so before God. Arising today in the strength of God. Whatever you think of that, that's what they were thinking when they put it in. When the Northern armies in what you call the Civil War here, what they called last week the War of Northern Aggression, it's amazing. I'll never forget when I owe him a dollar because I'm bringing up his name. I took Duncan, he's just a little guy, to Gettysburg, and he was just overwhelmed. One of our relatives, my great-great-granduncle, had come across, born in Spain, of Scottish family, brought to America, became a general. General George Gordon Meade. It's about the only, you know, person we have on the family tree we want to talk about in public. And he got fired. So, you know, what can I say? But when Duncan found that out, he was just amazed. And so we went back home. We were living in West Virginia at the time. And he just had to tell people what he had found and how wonderful it was. And he was telling our campus minister, Carl McClarty, great, fantastic young man, all about how this is where the good guys were. And then the bad guys were over here. Well, Carl is from Tennessee. And I kept noticing this little color popping around the jaw. And I said, Duncan, you know, it was really brother against brother, you know, his family, and it wasn't a good guy. And so Duncan goes, okay, well, the winners were here, and the losers were over there. And it was a wonderful, wonderful moment there as we try to explain this. When the Northern armies went through, what did they sing? They sang a hymn. And they sang about the glory of the Lord, and he is tramping out the vineyards where his grapes of wrath are stored. They use scripture to say, we are doing this by right of God. And the freeing of the slaves was a valid, important, desperately needed thing. And they said, we're going to do it by the power of God. And again, whatever you think of war and whatever you think of all of this, it's interesting that they chose our God is marching on. We're just in his vanguard. We're just following him. Psalm 124, if you're still at 121, you're probably still on the same page. We sing a hymn that's taken from this. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help, that word again, is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God told Israel they were not to number their men and their horses and their swords and their chariots because he did not want them to trust in that those numbers. It would not be by force of arms that Israel would win the day. And it will not be by force of arms that Christianity will spread across the world. It'll be by allegiance to Jesus Christ, calling ourselves citizens of heaven, marching forward to do his bidding where he calls us to go, when he calls us to go, and saying the words that he gives us. Paul knew we are inadequate for this job. He said, I'm not good at speaking. I'm not good to look at. He went through all of this and he said, but in my weakness, you can see his strength. Because what I do through the power of Almighty God, not my own power. It is not God and my own right hand. It is God and God alone. I arise today in the strength of the Trinity. I arise today because of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How do you get up in the morning? How do you move forward when everything else seems to be falling apart? Psalm 121. Again. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Tell you what, before I read the rest of this, let's all stand. Let's stand as Scripture is read. And Brendan, would you bring your team back up, please? I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade in your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Let the people of God say, Amen. Let's sing to our Lord.